Yeah, not disco.
So the mic go down to the teens.
Never. All right, we are on Daf. Lamed Hamid Base. Okay, we're up to the top line. Umar Rabbi Avo, the third word from the land. Now, we said yesterday that the that there's halacha that we wanted to say that Rabbi Yochanan holds that if something, let's start from the bottom. Bottom Lamed Hamid Aleph, last line. Revo B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, Revo Sanem Rabbi Yochanan. If the net is open in front of you, in other words, the net is extended, so then even stuff which isn't yet caught in the net, you can make kadosh. But Lamaisa, since it's going to imminently happen, things are going to get caught, so you already have it's considered as if it's enough jurisdiction or the stuff which will get caught in the net, then you can make a kadosh from now. Now, there's that's one version, and now we have another version. It seems to argue, though it's a little bit difficult because it's the same opinions. Rabbi Avo and then Rabbi Yochanan. Now, the other it says here, my Rabbi Avo b'Sher Yochanan, af l'kodesh lo kichu, that for kodesh also, it doesn't become kodesh, and it sounds like that. A line before, we said that when the net is extended, it becomes kadosh. And now it's saying that it does become kadosh. So it seems to be, although I'm not sure exactly what I'm saying is correct, but it seems to be two versions named Rabbi Yochanan. I saw the Or Sameach wants to say that it depends what he specified. That if he specified that which comes into my net today, then that'll become kadosh. Because that's imminent. But he says, fight anything which comes into my net as long as my net is extended. Because that's the way they used to trap animals, by extending nets throughout the forest, right, and having animals get caught. So that's not considered to be imminent enough. So Avichai Avo said that where the net is spread, it works. That's where the net is spread. He said, what if my net catches today? Where it says it doesn't work, that's where it says, whatever my net catches, even beyond today, that's not imminent enough, that it's considered to be, as we call it, yesterday, avida da'asu, that it's on its way, that you can make a kadosh. Okay, so it depends on the extent. Depends what he says. So it's
time specific,
right, within the next 24 hours. Umarai vav shem b'yachon ap l'kodesh lo kichu. So says the Gemara, lama. And that, now, said in Bipnei, the Shari Torah Yisroel puts in Lama Lo Amar. Why did he say a machlokes Remeir Yochanan Sanla? So you see a machlokes Remeir Yochanan Sanla in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, Remeir Yochanan Sanla argued about when somebody consecrates the handiwork of his wife, whether it's kodesh or not, and that's also davar shel bololom. But since it's going to happen, so it's machlokes Remeir Yochanan Sanla. So the same thing which should be with the net. Right? What's the difference? So it says the Gemara. Now, to the Gilead of Prime takes of the word Ober. It says, Shani Hekdesh Mitsuya, Mitsuya Shaina Mitsuya. No, the act that things will come into the net is not so prevalent. And again, the Orsamech shows a distinction. Things will come into the net imminently, yes, within the next 24 hours. But to be Makadish, Makdish, things will come into the net, even beyond that, that's not considered to be imminent enough. You can't be Makdish then.
No, there's no time frame with the wife.
Right, because that's considered to be, unlike an animal coming into your net, the wife will work. So therefore, that's a basic distinction. Okay, so the net we can distinguish between time, you know,
and
long term. Right. But not by wife's handiwork. I'm Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yaakov Baracha. Rabbi Yossi says Rabbi Yaakov Baracha.
No, I
remember. Davis Normi that used to say, at you, Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Yirmiyah Shem Shem Elokish, Matani Hekdesh She'ena Mitzuya. I'm sorry, Hekdesh Mitzuda She'ena Mitzuya. Who's the one who said that Hekdesh of the net which is not prevalent, is nonetheless a machlokas on Rabbi Yochanan Sama. But we just said that it's not a machlokas, according to Rabbi Yavon named Rabbi Yochanan. Me'ekdesh Mitsuda is definitely not kadosh, because it's not so prevalent. But I remember that there was somebody who said that that Rishim Elokish held that it was a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Sandler. So therefore, which one is it? So it says more heavy de un. It must be that there are various different opinions according to Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Now, that's because why do we say there are various different opinions? So Gideon Ephraim makes it clear that on Amud Aleph we said that Rish Lakish holds that by a case where Rish Lakish holds that the Machlokish Shira Meir Rabbi Yochanan Sadler is about Maisi Adair during her lifetime. But Maisi Adel Achar Miso, whatever prophecy is still realized after death, that is definitely not Kodesh. And Rabbi Yochanan holds on that even Maisi Adel can realize prophets after her death, that could still be a Machlokas. Okay? So Rish Lakish obviously held that Maisi Adel realizing prophets after death is not considered to be imminent in any way, shape, or form. So therefore, how can Rabbi Shimon Lakish have said, and therefore it's not subject to machlokas? So how can Rishim Milokish have said there is a machlokas about the net? The net should not be any more imminent and prevalent than the prophets realized by her handiwork after her death. Now, I'm not sure exactly why not.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what's the spark.
Yeah, the Chor, they're not similar. But he's saying, that, in other words, I would say that it's more prevalent that as so stuff comes up in your net, than your wife's handiwork produces profits after death. But I guess not. I guess if she produced carpets, let's say, so after death, you can still sell her carpets for the same price that they sold during her lifetime, right? So therefore, that's reasonably imminent. So therefore, Rish Lakish held that by Moshe Maisi Adel Achra Misa, whatever's left over from her handiwork after death, there's no machlokas. You definitely can't be makdish it. So therefore, you should also hold here by the Hekdesh Mitsuda, that the stuff which comes up in the net definitely is not Kurdish as well. So therefore the Gemara says it must be that there are two opinions named Rish Lakish. One opinion is that Rish Lakish held that things which are quasi-imminent are not imminent, and there was no machlokas. And the other opinion is that things which are quasi-imminent may be considered imminent, and that's the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, Rabbi Meir.
The thing I can think of is that if you want to put a philosophical thing on it, spiritual thing, that a person, a handiwork of a living person, yeah, can be made kodosh, hektish.
Yeah.
But if the person is dead already,
yeah,
so...
Nah. It's ergotic. Boo. Okay, nice try, though. Okay, says more further. Rabbi Yirmiya Boy, Rabbi Yirmiya asked, Hamakdish, so he makes stuff called Makdish in Maitzadei Avdo. This is an interesting case. His Makdish is his Evet's handiwork. Voyat Tayot, and he was a hunter. Ma, what's a loch? Now, the Gilead Ephraim says, the Pnei Moshe says, hunter, schmunter, whatever he is, the question is generally about Evet. Just happened to pick a case where he's a hunter. But that's the Pnei Moshe. The Gilead Ephraim, I've learned, it's an integral to the question. In other words, the Gemara knew for sure that that Maisi Adayim of your Evet, you can be Makdish. But you can.
Make a difference every Evet.
No, it makes no difference. But the question was, what about what he hunts? Because hunting is not so simple that anything is going to happen, right? That's the same Hekdesh Mitsuda, right?
It's so not that, like a net.
What?
It's not like a net.
It's even worse than a net, right?
Yeah, it's not.
Right. No, the thing is, it probably isn't. So, you know what? I'm not sure about that, though.
Yeah, unless he's a professional hunter.
Yeah, he's a trapper.
So well,
he's
a trapper. He's
and so Gilead Ephraim says, but nevertheless, it's a notch down than something where, you know, he's making carpets, which is definite, so therefore that's what we're asked about hunters. But again, the Pnei Moshe says it doesn't make a difference. We just picked hunter out of the hat. So, and it's not clear if Gilead Ephraim is correct that the question is case-specific on hunters. It's not clear how the Gemara's resolution addresses that specific case. Nishmina min adol. Let's start from here. Hamakdish says after somebody who consecrates his slave himself. He gives a slave, and obviously he's have a knani. He gives us the base of mikdash. Who kodesh? The have a knani is holy. For my tziyada, whatever the slave produces are chulin. Right? Hekdesh can sell, if he's a carpet weaver, so Hekdesh can sell his carpets to chulin and make money off of them. Okay? Because Hekdesh Medek Abayis can own the Eved, but it doesn't mean everything the Eved produces is Kodesh. I don't remember this in the Bavli. I'm willing to bet that this is not in the Bavli. But it's interesting dichotomy, you know, because we're saying that the Eved himself might be Kodesh, but his handiwork is not Kodesh. It doesn't extend to his hands. So that's a fascinating thing. So says Gemara, now what about Maisi day after? What about if you consecrate your slave's handiwork? So in fact, who chulin? Then the Eved himself is chulin. Maisi yota, but whatever he produces is hektish. Reverse. Am Rabbi Yochanan says hakotea yidei avdo shulchaver. Somebody who cuts off his friend. So we see even this that you can be makdish maisi day after. Again, it doesn't have to do with the hunter, but you see you can be makdish the handiwork of your slave. Somebody cuts off his friend's Eved's hand. So Rabbo, the master of the slave, Notel Nisko gets the damages, Tsar, the anguish, the Boshto, the embarrassment, the Gummo, the damage. In other words, everything goes to the master, because the master owns him, so it's his property which is damaged. Fa'aloh, what about the poor slave who is now an amputee? Tough. Yetziv Yisparas Pitztokim, he should get Stokim, he gets no payments. Says Mahaki says, for Tanya, didn't we learn, Hamakdish, it should be Maisi a day, Avdo, not Es Avdo, but some of you consecrate this Eved, Yetziv Hulu Parnosim Yitoichon. The Eved takes, deducts whatever he needs to for his own upkeep. Vashar Kodesh, and only the rest of it is Kodesh. What's the difference between the case number one, where we expect the Eved to go out, where the Eved underwent this accident, where we expect the Eved to go out and beg, and here case number two, where we say that the Eved was made Kodesh, that he gets to keep for himself whatever minimal existence he needs. So Amar Bobar Mel, Bobar Mel said, I'll tell you, interesting distinction. Lo Daito Shiyamus. Where a slave undergoes an accident, there's no das involved, right? There are payments which the Torah mandates. There's no das involved. I didn't intend to do X, Y, Z to the Eved, and intend to leave something over, you know. An event occurred, an accident occurred, the Torah mandates payments. The payments have to go to whoever the Torah mandates should get them. There's no room for das bnei adam there. There's no intent issue. But when I makdish my slave's handiwork, there, since I'm being makdish, there's a human being's intent involved in the deed which is occurring, so therefore my intent can be to makdish only his handiwork beyond what he needs to sustain himself. Do you see that distinction? I think it's a good one. Let me see if I can make it understood. That
I understand the first part about that. Everything is set, cut and dried. It's a formula involved for Boshes
right.
And Tsar.
Right, and it has to go to the master. But yeah. But what I'm giving an Eved, when I'm making Eved Hektish, right?
Yeah.
So then I, who's making the Eved Hektish, or his handiwork Hektish.
Right, so it's a judgment call how much the Eved is.
But no, but no, it's my judgment call as the Makdish. So there my compassion can actually have be a factor. I can say I'm only being Makdish that his handiwork above and beyond what he needs to sustain himself. And we say that that is the das. Okay? When I cut off somebody's hand, it's nothing to do with my das.
Yeah,
you know,
it's,
right? It's a formula. But here, where I'm being makdish my Eved's handiwork, so there I say that my das plays a role. My das was mistama, that I only be makdish that's beyond the basics, only be makdish that stuff beyond which he needs for his own personal use.
Well, the value of the handiwork is what you get on the market. So,
but he's not selling his slave's handiwork. He's being makdish his slave's handiwork to base on mikdash.
So it's who determines what value that is?
That's everything.
Is that a
bias? Yeah, well, it's everything. It doesn't have to be given a tangible value. All it is that we leave over for him what he needs in order to sustain himself.
So it's more vague or fungible.
Right.
Or
more fungible. Right, that's basically it. Now, here the Gemara is missing a whole block here. The Pnei Moshe brings down some stuff here, which Gemara doesn't have. It says they're just Yosef and Avadim. So if you look at the Pnei Moshe, the last of the narrow, the wide lines, the fifth line down. Chaserkan. You see that? It's missing here. Vigosina come of the Gersh Berkachoivel. You have to, like it says, Berkachoivel Baita Amuda. That's in Baba Kama in the Yerushalmi. Rabbi Hillel b'shem Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Hillel said name Rabbi Yochanan, Hamakdish Maisa Deatz was somebody who consecrates his own handiwork. Kulan Kodesh. The whole thing is Kodesh. As opposed to his Evet. If his Makdish is Evet's handiwork, it's only that which is above and beyond the Evet's basic needs, right? But his Makdish, his own handiwork, the whole thing is Kodesh, right?
He can support himself. He doesn't need to.
What?
He can support
himself. He can't support himself. Everything he does now is for Hakdish. How is he going to support himself?
No, I mean, he doesn't have to deduct what it would require for him to support himself.
No, that's bad. That's a question. Why not? Why doesn't he?
Because he's an entrepreneur.
How do you know? No, but he can't do anything. Even if he's an entrepreneur now, any money he makes should go to Hakdish. No, he can keep nothing for himself. On the contrary, that's more his question. By an avid, he leaves the avid enough to sustain himself. By himself, he doesn't, right? So, the Chazar. The Chazar Vatana goes back and brings down Hamakdish Maisa De Avdo. Well, we just learned that Hamakdish Maisa De Avdo, somebody consecrates his Evet's handiwork. Yotzi Lo Man Parasosa. The Evet takes out his own Parasosa, Vashar Kodesh. So, Hochat Amar Shar Kodesh, by the Evet, you say only the remainder is Kodesh after his own needs. Lachem by the Yisrael, Atomar Kulo Kodesh. You say the whole thing is Kodesh. Why the difference? Rabbi Achra Achasem, it's assuming Israel of Farnes Bnei Chorin Yerusim in Avodim. Jews are going to support free people more than slaves. In other words, if he goes and begs, after having consecrated his entire own handiwork, he'll make more money than if he go than his Eved will. So therefore, when he consecrates his Eved's handiwork, he only consecrates his Eved's handiwork above and beyond the basic needs. When he consecrates his own handiwork, he consecrates his own handiwork, including his basic needs. Because the Eved won't be able to beg as effectively, he won't get a good green card. He won't be able to beg as effectively as he himself will be able to beg. Okay? So, says the Gemara, So back to the Gemara itself. So Lo Kein Amar Rabbi Yochanan, doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say Akotei Yide Avdo Shechavei? We just had this, right? So he cuts off his friend's hand. Noitel Nisko Vitzaro. His friend's slave's hand. Noitel Nisko. The master takes the Nezek, the Tsar, the Boshes, the Pgam. So then the other guy, that slave, has to go out and make tzedakah. So what's the difference, right? That's not the question. Question is, but you just said Avonin can't effectively beg. So it's not fair. How's he going to survive, right? So says more, the more we next. Says more, Avonin Kitzim Shervach said, Mitzumi Yisrael Farnes Kitin. I'm so commanded to sustain amputees, afilu avodim, which I think means that Am Yisrael has rachmonis on amputees. In other words, if it's an Evan who looks able-bodied and he can make Maisi Adayim, so nobody's going to support him. So therefore, when you're makdish him beyond his basic needs. Yisrael, even if he looks able-bodied, people support him. So therefore, when he's makdish his own handiwork, he's makdish his entire handiwork. When it comes to amputees, Am Yisrael supports amputees regardless of whether they're slaves or Bnei Chorin, and therefore that amputee gets nothing. All of the Nezek Tsar, if he's an Evet, Boshes Pagam, goes to his master. Okay? Because he'll be supported by Tzedakah. Says the Gemara, Now, despite our whole sugya, Midas Chasidus is that of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, Koma Ad Hava Ochel, everything, very famous Gemara, although I don't think it's in the Bavli. Koma Ad Ochel, Koma Ad Hava Ochel, anything he ate, Yoav Lav, that he would give also to his slave to eat. It's not talking about a Jewish slave, it's talking about a non-Jewish slave, an Eved Kanani. Why? Vavakari Aloi Lavi Lavoi, Aloi, he said about his slave, Hello, mi beten osani oseu. But in the stomach of my master, my creator, he was created. By they were erected in the same womb. Now, not specifically the same womb, of course, but it means that he's a human being and I'm a human being, so therefore I have to give him whatever I enjoy as well.
Didn't we have an abali that the owner has to make sure that a slave eats?
That's by David Ivry. This is even by Eved Kanani. That's the Kiddush here. Okay? The shift of gears. Boy, we're running on empty tonight and everybody else is running on too. That's tucker. Elam lochas shayisha osalabala. These are lochas a woman does for herself. For her husband, excuse me. Tocheres, she's responsible to grind for him. Fofa, to bake for him. Mukhapsa, to do laundry for him. Mvashelas, to cook. Manikas, to nurse her child. Matas Amita, to make the beds. Also Batemer, to work with wool. If she gives him, she brings in with her dowry one slave. Lo tochena, she doesn't grind. Lo ofa, nor does she have to bake. Lo mechabesis, nor does she have to launder. Shtaim, if she has two slaves. Enem vachol, she no longer has to cook. Lo menikos pira, nor does she have to nurse. Sholosh, if she has three slaves. Enem matas Amita, she doesn't make the beds. Abba, she has four slaves. Yosheves b'katedra, she sits in a fancy chair all day, in an easy chair. Even if she has 100 slaves, kofa la'asos b'temer. He can compel her to work with wool. Why is that? Shabbatola, idleness, mevil de'zima, because leads a person to lustful thoughts and improper thoughts. Ashigam li'omer, afamadis ishto milasos melocha. And somebody makes an oath that his wife may not do work. Yotzi must divorce her, eating ksuva, and give her ksuva. Shabbatol mevil deshim, a person is idle, leads him to insanity. So therefore, idleness is a bad thing. Tani, we learned. Shiva gufe mulachos mota. They enumerated seven general types of work. Vashar, the rest, lo tzor, lo chomi, lo didn't have to mention them. There are obviously many other types, but they fall into these general categories. Minikos b'no, she has to nurse her child. Amir chagai lo amar b'no. It sounds like only her son. To om him lo, it sounds like not twins. Now, the Pnei Moshe and the coordinator learned that that's actually a statement. She only has to do one child. For a twin, the husband has to go hire a nursemaid. She only has to do one at a time. But I don't think that that's the pshat. I think it's read like an astonishment. It only says her son. What is it going to teach us? Well, tell me, lo, what do you think? She doesn't have two twins? If she has twins, she has two twins. It's two. The loma, so rather, why Omar b'no? Why does it say her son? Shlotonik ben chaverta. If she has a co-wife, a tzora, so her husband can't compel her to nurse the tzora's child. Gadain detani, like we learned in a braisa, Eino ishko faith as ishto, a man may not force his wife, shlotonik b'no shel chavero, to nurse his friend's son. Loisha Kleves Bala, nor may a wife compel her husband to allow her, Shetani Ben Chaverta, to nurse her friend's daughter. Period. Not a Shalhanikas Beno. What if she took an oath not to breastfeed? Beisharim Shomdi Mesadami Tokpi. Beisharim says, look, she took an oath. So therefore, we remove her nipple from his mouth. That's the tough luck. Beisharim Kovina Sov. Beisil says, we compel her to nurse. Because it's, you know, obviously, I don't know, Pikuach Nevich exactly, but she's Pikuach Nevich, it's not actually. What I meant to say is she's Meshubad. She's under lien to do that. She can't take an oath to get out of a lien. It's like saying, I owe you $1,000, but I take an oath not to pay you. I can't make you suffer through my oath. So therefore, she has to nurse the kid regardless. Okay? Is that clear?
Yeah, well, can't you say that it's Secundus Professus?
No, because there might be another nursemaid around. They had a lot of wet nurses. So it's honest, even if it's not Secundus Professus.
It can't be made for them now.
Well, assuming she didn't, right? He didn't, right? You know, maybe he can, but tell you about where she did. He didn't. Okay? Nisgarsha. What if the husband divorced the wife? So in ain't covenant, so that we don't make him her nurse the child. By mad for him, when is this true? But it's Mancheno Makira. If he hasn't already come accustomed to her, he doesn't know her already. Aval Imaya Makira, but if he knew her already, Kovinosa, we compel her, Venosim Laschara, and we pay her, because she's no longer married to the guy, so she's not under lien to nurse the kid, right?
She has custody.
Even though she's mother. No, she doesn't get custody. Halach, it's not so simple that mothers get custody. Generally, in Halach, we say that the fathers get the sons, and the mothers get the daughter. So she might not have custody. So anyway, she doesn't have to feed the kids, so rather we have to pay her for it, right? And so, we compel her to nurse for nice and less harm, we pay her for it. She tells us, but not to nurse her kid. Kama yellow v'yemakira. How long does it take for a child to be accustomed to a certain nurse, in this case his mother, and therefore after the amount of time, we compel her to nurse. Rabbi Shem Rav said, Shlosh Chodoshim, 3 months. Vavas Rabbi Zira Mistakabe. Rabbi Zira looked at Rabbi Yirmi in astonishment. I'm like, man, Mistakabe, why look at me in astonishment? Neymar Loch, I mean, I eat this well. Did they say, is it because they said to you, or somebody said to you that which Shmuel said? Dharma Shmuel Shloshi Yomim. Shmuel said after 3 days already, the child knows whose its mother is and who its nursemaid is. Shmuel Kedaita. Shmuel is unique and follows his line of reasoning, because Shmuel Amar. Shmuel said Chachim Ona L'Chayosa Dilyaldin. Shmuel said I recognize the nurse, the midwife, who gave birth to, who birthed me. Now, this is very interesting. Come on, the next couple of lines. You see that Chazal had massive powers of retention and memory. They say if you hypnotize somebody, then they can remember their birth. You ever hear that? Yeah. So here you see that actually Chazal were capable of doing this themselves. So obviously indicates greatness of Chazal. As again, Shmuel said, I know the nursemaid. I know the midwife who gave birth to me. Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar Chacham Ana L'Gzora the Gazli. I know the Moel who was Maomi. I remember my Bris Mila. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Chacham Ana L'Nashia the Tzavti Nimimi. I remember the women who came together with my mother to help her in the birthing process. All these Chazal, such great complete retention. I remembered all these things of their extremely early childhood. Okay. Says the Artani. We learned that Bryson. This is also in the Babli. The child continues to nurse ad up to 24 months after it's born. The child who nurses after that is like nursing a from repugnant animal. It's already Lezer's opinion. Says after that, it's already, he's too old to nurse. And he can continue to nurse even 4 or 5 years. Piresh, once, however, he splits from his mother, even within those 4 or 5 years, you don't bring him back to nurse again. What's considered to be piresh? Areichon. What's going to be separating, weaning, I guess, is the proper English word, that he doesn't go back. Rabbi Yaakov Rachman and Rabbi Yirmiya, but Shem Ra said, Meisle is 24 hours. Rabbi Chizkir Avobish and Rabbi Yishuv and Levi said not 24 hours. Shloshi Yomi Meisleis. 72 hours. Tani Meisleis. We looked at one price. The Taka says 24 hours. Rabbi Chizkir Rabba said, Rabbi Chizkir the Great said, by Medvar, when is that true? His match appears in Tokpurio. When the kid was healthy and stopped for 24 hours to nurse. So then he can't start again. Avoy and Pirish told Cholio, but if he stopped nursing because he was sick, Marzir no so. Then we could give him, we allow him to go back immediately. If it's not a case of danger, we allow to go back immediately when he becomes well. Ima Yoshel Sakona, and if there was a Sakona, now Sakona's nefashas involved, and Filaka Kam Yomim, even if he split for several days, Machzirno, so we put him back afterwards to his mother, to nurse, obviously because of the Sakona involved. Okay?
There's no Sakona. Why can't he go back to the nurse after 24 hours?
Well, if, because he didn't, it wasn't intentional, because he only split from his mother, was weaned temporarily because he was sick.
No, no, I mean, if he wasn't sick.
No, then after 24 hours, that's it.
Why?
Because it's already weaned. The older the kid gets, because of this concept of kionic sheket. In other words, you can't continue nursing forever. At some point, it becomes forbidden.
So
right.
Once he's weaned, you can't.
Right. It's only dry butter. It's not the rice.
Yeah.
Right. But it's dry butter. Our butter said we didn't have a grover.
It dries up, but it could still not 24 hours. It's still warm.
Right. But it's a combination, not just the milk drying up, but of chazals, you know, saying that after a certain age, we can't allow nursing. It's too ridiculous. Okay. So back to the concept of bringing in slaves into marriage. Ichnisa. I'm not sure, but it's a glossal of Ichnisa. It's not just if she brought in slaves. Even if she was suitable to bring in slaves. Now, it's a big machlokas here, what that means. Rashi says it means if she had the money, she brought in a large enough dowry to buy slaves. So then, as if she brought the slave, she doesn't have to do all the work. Right? The Rod says, even if she was poor, but her family was a noble family, and they didn't work. They hired servants to do work. So I mean, even if she didn't bring enough money to pay for servants, nevertheless, she does have to do that amount of work which your wife would do in the absence of servants as described in our Mishnah. Okay? Because at the time like that, which showed Ishto Loimo, his wife goes up with him in social status. A lawyer read it to him, it doesn't go down when she marries him in social status. However, that's only by wife. Almana uvanea, a widow and her children, after the death of the husband, yoyim, they go down in status. They have to tighten their belts. Avalo, they don't go up in status. Hapalim, workers who work for a person like steady laborers. Only if the person gets rich, they go up as well with him. Avol lawyer din, they never go down, you never give them cuts. Okay? Abbas, all the way around, it's a daughter who, at her father's death, was fixed into the right to get one-tenth of his property as a dowry. So that goes by that point in time, even if they got richer or poorer, that tenth is measured as it was at the time of his death. Period. Okay? Now ask more of a tachni shivu chol dvarea. Very interesting question, chol dvarea. We're going to ask, listen, it might just say to you, you have one servant, so and so much. Two servants, she gets up so and so much work. Three servants, more work. Four servants, she gets off all together. So says, I understand. What's she by herself? She's one, right? If there were no shvachot, she'd have to do all the things herself, right? So if there is one shivcha, let's put all the work that she would have had to do on the shivcha. You're saying, you need up to four servants in order to exempt her from certain lines of work, right? Why should that be? Exempt her from all the work as long as she has one shivcha.
Yeah, but the Mishnah said it's no good for her to be except for...
No, but I'm saying except for those symbolic labors. Okay, that's the Mishnah's question, right? So it says tomorrow. Again, but Tachna Shivcha, Chol Dvarim. One Shivcha. Aren't Chiba Yudah Minei Chaim Shal Shivcha. So this is, what's the word? Something legislation, I'm thinking of... No, it's like worker protection. I'm not counting the right word. But name it.
Well, they don't want to make her work too much.
Right. Whatever it's called. So to protect her. Those are like union laws or whatever laws. That's one answer. I'm right, Boone. Rabun said, another answer. Aideshat Dvarim Lo should be Zoyon. Because the stuff mentioned in Mishnah is degrading. That's why they allowed the Shivcha to do it. So that's an interesting thing. He's saying the truth is that really the wife should have to do everything, regardless of how many Shvachos there are. Let the Shvachos go work on the fields. It's only that we exempt her successively from more and more things, not because the not because there's not other work to do in the house, but because these things are degrading to her, right? So therefore, we take them off her back. So we take off each time a bare minimum. Besides this, his wife should be working for her husband. So therefore, we take off only a little bit, gradually going to less and less degrading labor until we have full scholarship. But you know, we certainly would encourage the wife to work as much as possible. Okay, the only thing we take away is the stuff which has to do with bizoyim. Amar, and it should be Rabbi Yossi, but according to Shai Torah Yisrael, top of Lam Sai B'Av. Another reason, Shein Derech Isha Liyosir Yosheves B'Tel B'Sog Beisol. We simply can't allow it to be Yosheves B'Tel. So therefore, we always make her do work, and even though the more servants, the less work she has to do, but we never take it away altogether.
Simply mahjong.
Right, which we don't want her to have to do. Rav Huna Amar, is that what they do Winston Towers all day? All right, I guess. Rav Huna Amar.
They watch soap operas.
It's mamish al tash lechenulei zikna. It's really sad. All right. Rav Huna Amar filu echnisa lo mea shvachos, even if she gets 100 slaves, koyfe lasus lo dvarim shel yochin, things which have to do with, you know, intimate things, she has to do for him. Yochid means like yechidus, right? What are they? Sachas lo gufo, to anoint his body with oils, mrachetis lo his raglov, and wash his feet. See what wiser in the good old days, right? Mosegas was close to pour his cup. Lama. Now the Yushami answers the interesting question. Says, why does she do it? Mishum she chayev is so slow. Because she has to do it for him. It doesn't pass to give a female maidservant to wash the master's feet, right? Or stuff like that. Ma nafkamin bineon, what's nafkamina? Hichnisalo avodim. If he has male servants, in Tamar Mishum Shein Royalish Tam Shishivcha, you're going to say it's because you're going to have a female maidservant do the intimate things. So, Arech Nisolo to Avadim. So then, he's got female slaves, so that won't be a problem, right? So, since it doesn't say that, have a lace timer, it should be Da Ella. Mishum shechayves lo masi, because since Mishnah doesn't differentiate between avodim and shvachos, it must be that she's required to do this for him. Now, that's an interesting thing. Reb Baz points out here, principle in Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, as a principle, and the Reb Baz proves it from here in other cases, whenever the case would change because of the reason, the Mishnah must bring down the reason which would change the case. If the Mishnah does not bring down the reason, the case-changing reason, then it must be the Ushami doesn't hold that reason. For example, here, if the reason was because it's not proper for Shvachas to do these intimate things, and therefore Avodim could, so then the Mishnah should have told us something about the difference between Shvachas and Avodim, and it doesn't. It just says, Bordeaux, add one Shvachas, two Shvachas, etc. So it must be that the Mishnah, this Yushami speaking, does not hold of that case-changing logic, and therefore the Yushami, the Mishnah is learning that she has to do these bottom line work, she has to do this bottom line work for him is because it's special intimate details, right? In which case, whether it's Shvachos or Avodim, still, whether the Shvachos or Avodim involved, still, the bottom line, she has to do it. Okay? Did I make myself clear on that one? Okay? So, let me reiterate. With Yushami feels there ever a reason would change the case, the Mishnah should have brought it if it applies. Rabbi Abutima, Tziporin, and Tziporin, boy, come Raimona. That's Raimona. Lomi Stam, Shum Shechevis, though, doesn't make sense, as we just said, that she has to do these things because she's required to do it for her. Says Mara Melosi, they said, yeah, Afana Sabrakin, I hold our way as well. Period. Now here's a vav. Says Vitani, but really it's a separate issue. Tani Kane, we learned concerning our Mishnah. Kaifilasus Batemri still compels her to work with wool. Avalovi Pishtam, but not by linen. You know why? Mineshim Asrav Zepay gives her bad breath. I guess because they stick the flax or the linen to their mouth, and it gives her bad breath.
It's always associated with dirty water.
Yeah, something like that. And also, Michelle Beckett says, Safios, it causes the blisters on the lips, because they have to, you know, always draw the linen tight. Okay.
By the way, nowhere in the Gemara does it say that the men might wash their own feet.
No, chas v'sholom. It's up for the women to do. Okay, a madras ishto mitashe shemita. Somebody who takes an oath that he's going to not provide his wife with marital relations. Mishamish shteishavas. Mishamish says he can do for up to 2 weeks. If he goes beyond that, he's got to divorce her. The suyin shabbos is only 1 week. The word is going to say we learned that from. Hatamidim yotzim limot Torah shelo b'shul. Students can go out to learn Torah without their wife's permission for up to 30 days, but not more than that. Apolim workers go out to work without the wife's permission. Shabbos achas, 1 week and not more than that. Ha'ayna amura b'Torah. The regularity with which one has to have marital relations mentioned in Torah. Hatayolim, day traders, people independently wealthy, or people who don't have a real job. We call him every day. Hapoyalim, workers, time b'Shabbos twice a week. Hachamorim, donkey drivers, echo b'Shabbos once a week. Hagamolim, camel drivers, echo shoshim once every 30 days. Saponim, sailors, echo shoshim once every 6 months, divir abilos. B'Shabbos, shnei Shabbos. B'Shabbos says he can stay away from her for up to 2 weeks. Why is that? Kimei lead us the cable. Because the maximum time allowable in the Torah, of course nowadays, after a woman gives birth, until she stops bleeding, we asser her. But the Torah holds after 14 days, she can go back to her husband. So actually the maximum amount of time a woman who's not ill with some sort of, you know, ziva malady stays away from her husband is 14 days. Since that's the case, so therefore, that's the maximum. Like the amount of time for a male to, the amount of time she's telling me after gives birth to a male, or the amount of time which is not needed the rice, of course. The rabbanah she's needed for long because she has to wait shim nikim. But the rice she's only needed for 7 days. So, basil holds that it's not the 14 days, because we go after the more prevalent time period in the Torah, not the 14, but the 7. Okay, Talmidim Yotzei Talmud Torah Shelo B'Shus Pateir. Students can go out to learn Torah without permission from their wives. Bais is euphemism from their wives. Shloshim Yom, for 30 days. B'Shus Pateir, but if they get permission from their wives, remember what we had last night, the Koilo principle, right? So if they get Rishus from their wives, so Gizun Teir Afilu Kama. In the old days in Europe, it used to be that actually Koilo people used to leave their wives home by their in-laws, and they used to go learn for 6 months at a shot. They used to come home for Yom Tov during the 19th century. So,
Rami
Akiva
did the same thing.
Right, Akiva, right. The Shuad Al-Shemi is, it said, Vayishalchem Levanona. Shlomo sent his workers to Lebanon. Aseres Levi Chodesh, 10,000 a month. Now, Amrabi Avir Ben said, Chivya Kershbaru Pir Verivya. Kershbaru gave precedence, gave found more precious procreation. Yosef Beis Hamikdash, Shmona Beis Hamikdash. My time, why? Because it says about the workers of Shlomo, Chodesh Bilvanon, they're 1 month on duty in Lebanon, cutting down cedar trees. Ushtai Chodesh Beis, and they would come home for 2 months. So 1 month out, 2 months off, because they should be able to come home and be with their wives. Similarly, although not precise to say, the Rav Amar concerning workers of David HaMelech, his soldiers, it says, Habav Ayetis Chodesh B'Chodesh. On active duty, they would cycle from month to month. 1 month on active duty, 1 month off duty. The same idea, although not as liberal. Ashlomel was the same idea. Period. So obviously, Pur of Ruh is an important thing. Says more further. Here you say,
how long you can stay away?
Yeah, I just forgot what is going on. 1 second. Yeah, right. Yeah, so it's a concept. It says, first it says, HaPolim Shabbos Achas, right? They can stay away for a week, right? And then it says, HaPolim Shtayim Shabbos, they have to have relations twice a week. So how can they stay a week if they have to have relations twice a week, right? So it says, my time back up, HaPolim Yetzim Lachlis Shlur B'Shul B'Tayim Shabbos Achas. It means they can leave home for a week at a time. That they're allowed to do. But when they're home, they have to have relations with their wife twice a week. Okay, so that's what it means. They're two separate things. They leave home for a week at a time, but if they're home, they have to have relations twice a week. Says Ma'ona Amura B'Torah, the word Ona, it's written in the Torah. This is referring to a conversation about that. You probably never had this conversation. It says in the Torah, and by Parshas Bo'atim, She'erok susav ona saw. There are three things, she'er, ksus, and ona. So the conventional understanding is she'er is food, ksus is clothing, and ona is marital relations, and those are the three basic components of a marriage. In the Bible, there's some discussion of that. But in the Yerushalmi, it's much more discussion. It says, well, what's ona, what says the Torah? There are those who learn, she'er is a derech eretz. She'er is actual marital relations. Ona, the Muslim, that's food. We are looking for that. Eastar Italian, there are those who say ona is a derech eretz, ona is marital relations, and she'er is a Muslim is food, as we learn. Madamar she'er is a derech eretz, he who says she'er refers to bia, to marital relations, because it says, Ishi shall close share b'sorah lo sikhul gal erva, right? So it says, don't come close to any of your relatives be gal erva. So the word share in that context has to do with marital, with relations. Forbidden relations, but with relations, right? Ona zuha Muslim, what is, oh, why is ona is money, food? It says, vayan chave aribeka, Hashem afflicted you and famished you. So ona is the affliction associated with famine, right? Manar, he says, she'er's a mazon, the wiles he learned, because Pasuk, which says, in Tehillim, it says there, v'am terelem kafar, she'er. Hashem caused the Bnei Yisrael in the desert to have, like, dirt, dust coming upon them, their food, which they got the money. Onas will do their cherets. How do you know onas do their cherets with marital relations? Because it says, im tanis benosai. Laban said to Yaakov when they took leave, he said, make sure not to afflict my daughters. And that affliction seems to be referring to not depriving them of proper marital relations. Okay? Says Mara, Rabbi Lezmer Yaakov, Patakroi, Lezmer Yaakov learned the bus like this. She'era ksusasa, what does she'era ksusasa mean? So I mean, she'teya ksus lefi asher. You know, Lord said neither word is talking about food. Shares not talking about food or about marital relations. What it means is that her garment should be according to her status. Shloitein law law as a yaldo askena shouldn't give clothes meant for a young girl to an old maid, to an old woman. Law as askena nor clothes meant for an old woman. Liyaldo, it's not fair. Also, ksusav on the sun, the clothes should also be according to the season. Shatei ksus lefi ha'ona. Shaloi tein shokai tzos ksharim, shouldn't give her summer clothing in the winter. Lo shok shavim, and not winter clothing, but kai tzos in the summer. So he learns everything in the puzzle really focused on clothing. And share means that it should be according to the type of person. And ona means according to the season. So from here we see that the focus of a woman is clothing. Just kidding. Says more further. Not really, just kidding. But now you says more further. So if that's the case, help us go in clothing. How do we know she gets food? That which doesn't sustain her soul, clothing. Anyway, he can't deprive her of it. That which does sustain her soul, food. Okay, fine. So it's kavachor. We know honor. How do we know the answer relations of the word? Also kavachor. My dvorim atchlo niseis mekan. We show if stuff which before she got married to this guy, Mishona from the before the nisuin actually, before the nisuin, from the time of erusin, and Roshali money mimena. No, that's not what it means. I forgot. It means like this. My advice should actually this is gone. Stop what she was getting before she was married. Right? Here we're talking about clothing, right? She needed clothing before she got married. She was getting it from somewhere, right? So he has to provide to her after they get married, right? And on Charlie Money Manor. The thing for which she did get married. Meaning for marital relations, he certainly is not allowed to deprive her of lokoshkin. Certainly is not allowed to deprive her of that right. So stuff which she would be having anyway can't deprive her. Certainly stuff she can't have anyway, which she got married for, they can't deprive her of. Okay, says more further. How do we know the concept of ona, of how many times a week, how many times a year you have to have relations? So says more mimincha sheshalchi Yaakov Avinu le'esav achiv. From the gift given by Yaakov to Esav in Parshas Vayishlach, Lamed Rabbi Lozer, Shushilok Derechetz, he sent them according to the standards of Derechetz in the animal kingdom, and Rashi explains this in Chumash, says there easy Masayim Kiyoshim Esrim. For 200 female goats, he sent 20 male goats. So each goat was in charge of 10 women. Because the goats, they don't work so hard, so they can, you know, play around more. Okay? Chai Lasora. Similarly, Rechelim assigned 200 sheep, Be'elim assigned with 20 rams. Chai Lasora, 1 for 10. Gemali Medikos, nursing camels, Ubenayim, and their sons, but Chazal Darshan, Bonayim. Their builders, meaning their husbands or their mates, Shloshim 30. So why are they called Bnei'em? Some Rabbi Brecha Hain they Aydei Shutzanua B'Tashmisho. Camels somehow have relations in a modest way. Feel a Pirsma Akasuv. So Pasuk doesn't say that it was actually their mates. So here actually it's a ratio of I forget what the ratio is by camels. Maybe it's 1 to 1 because they do a lot of work. But I don't remember it's not clear what the ratio is here. Anyway, Poros are boy of Parimasara, to 40 cows and 10 bulls, Chalarba, 1 to 4, if you don't like because they work harder. Asona says, female donkeys 20 and males 10, Chalatre, 1 to 2, you know, Loy, they're really hard workers. So therefore, the harder you work, the less you have to have relations with your wife. Okay?
Less.
Because the more you work, the less capable you are of having relations, as we see here. The more idle you are, the more capable you are. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked, why are they not like the Tayolim? They don't work, let them have relations every day. Right? Says, doesn't make sense to say, but rather kasfun. They are actually, it'd be anything, I would say they're like gathers, meaning like the sailors. Once every 6 months, shayne, gi, and yoyser. Because some yachomi, they work hard. From morning to night, they're learning. Right? It's interesting, different perspective. Maybe also like the tayolim, and like, what's the day, and maybe also like the sailors. So, Rav says, later on, we're going to have a mission that says, "Ocheli Simov Leila Shabbos Leila Shabbos." She eats with her husband from Friday night to Friday night. Blush Nakia. That's a nice way of saying that the relations of Tamid El Chomim are Friday nights. And we will stop here for today.
The reason why the sailors only once every 6 months is because that's when they come into port.
Right, it's when they come into port. She's lucky if they don't bring back any diseases.